After he won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic with Accelerate, John Sadler said the story wasn't about him. He wanted all the glory to go to the horse. But he was only partially right, as Sadler was widely admired for how he guided Accelerate's year and for how he withstood the scrutiny that came with an 0-41 record coming into the Breeders' Cup. Sadler is this week's guest on the Thoroughbred Daily News podcast, brought to you by TaylorMade.
Why do TaylorMade horses sell for nearly double the market average? A history of success, honesty, and hard work. For over 40 years, buyers and sellers alike have trusted TaylorMade as the industry's top source for high-quality thoroughbreds and friendly service. While sellers get top dollar for their horses, buyers are rewarded for top results on the track. From sale toppers to Grade 1 winners to Breeders' Cup champions, think TaylorMade, the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing.
Welcome back. This is Bill Finley, the host of the TDN's podcast, and we're pleased to be joined now by John Sadler. John, before we start, why don't we put a big smile on your face and replay Accelerate's win in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Accelerate, the favorite, who's six right now, just poked his head into fifth, and he's four lengths off the lead. Roaring Lion is coming under pressure on the inside. Catholic Boy is outside of horses with Mind Your Biscuits, and Axelrod is sent through inside of them. Gunavera, 12 lengths behind at this stage, then Discreet Lover, Yoshida, and the trailer is Lone Sailor, three quarters, 110.61. They move into the far turn with Mendelssohn, McKinsey, West Coast, and now Accelerate makes it four across the track as they round the far turn. And then it's Thundersnow running in fifth on the inside. Axelrod is sixth outside of them and under a drive. And then it's Pavel. Yoshida still about seven lengths behind, but he's unwinding and coming wide. And they're into the stretch. And it's Accelerate. And on the inside, Mendelssohn, Thundersnow roaring up between those two as they arrive at the eighth pole. Then Yoshida, Axelrod, Gunavera's closing in late. It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thundersnow on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
John, when you heard those words, quote unquote, and Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler, what's the best way to describe your feelings? Relief, excitement, exhilaration, all of the above?
All of the above. It was a very clearly all of the above. And probably a few we can't even verbalize. So all of the above was the way to describe it.
Okay, I can certainly understand that. Now, what was your confidence level going into the race? You had a good horse, but this was an awfully tough field, probably the best he had ever faced.
Well, we were very confident in him because, you know, he's a five-year-old. He's not let us down all year. His form has been very consistent. We thought it was the best horse. So we were confident, and you just hope that you have good luck on the big day. And he had a nice, clean trip, so we felt good about it.
Okay. And John, one of the side stories that I think got a little bit lost in this Breeders' Cup is that of Victor Espinosa. He would have been aboard the horse had he not been injured, and that's a tough hit for a jockey to take, to lose the mount on a winner in a $6 million horse race. Have you talked to Victor, and how did he seem to handle things?
He handled things very well. I spoke to him yesterday when I came back from the trip, and he was really happy for the horse and me and the barn, and he couldn't have been better. Victor's, you know, right now his focus is just getting better. So he wasn't that upset because, you know, as seriously as he was injured, he's looking at a big, you know, he's looking at bigger things than a horse race, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, if it's a long way to come, but, and not that Joel Rosario hasn't done a great job, but you are going to run in the Pegasus World Cup. If Victor is healthy by then, have you made a decision who would ride, or are you just going to wait things out?
He won't be ready by then.
He won't. Okay.
No.
Okay.
So, I mean, his return is you know, go at his timetable. But right now, he's still in a lot of rehabilitation. I mean, I don't want to speak for him, mm-hmm. but he would tell you the same thing.
Okay. Well, that settles that question.
Yeah.
So, John, some Breeders' Cup winners in recent years have retired immediately after the Classic. Others have gone on to the Pegasus World Cup. You and your owners, Hieronis Racing, are saying that the Pegasus is next. And $9 million, that's an awful good reason to go on and run one more time. But could you just explain the thinking why you and the Hieronis team think that that's the right course of action to take now?
Well, and what we said is that if the horse shows us that he wants to run again and trains up well for the race, we're going to give him a chance to do it because it's such a big purse. Now, the Pegasus is a relatively new event, so, you know, everybody's just kind of learning about it. But we're trying to follow the similar path that Gunrunner did last year, which is he went to Lane's End in Lexington, Kentucky on Sunday, and he's still there for a few days of showing, and then he'll be back out here in California. So that's the tentative plan, but the plan will always be what's best for the horse first. So when we get him home and get him back on the track, he'll tell us if he has one more in him.
Okay. And speaking of Hieronis Racing, for owners that have had so many good horses, they really don't seem to get a lot of publicity. They kind of fly under the radar. Now, Costas Hieronis seems to be the face of the operation, but I know many family members have been involved. Can you sort of run down who's who among the ownership team, who you deal with on a daily basis, and really how Hieronis Racing works?
Well, Hieronis Racing is Costa and his brother Pete. Pete is more in the background a little bit, but very supportive of his brother Costa. Costa is the one that you see more often and probably the face of it. And then, you know, they have both have wives. Both were there on Saturday, and kids were there. Like, you know, like all big days, the whole family shows up. But they're from Central California, and they've got a busy business up there. So their time is primarily up there running their business.
Yeah. John, you were a successful trainer before they came along, but they seem to have lifted you perhaps to a different level. I mean, they've provided you with an awful lot of good horses, Accelerate included. What can you say for what they've done for your career?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I've had, you know, I've been in this game a long time, and, you know, my record is pretty well documented. I have a lot of, you know, I have 30-plus Group 1 wins. I've got 200-plus stake wins, 150 group stake wins. So, you know, this is just a progression for me. They've been very generous in allowing me to go out and find these horses for them. So it's been a really good experience for both of us.
There's much more to come with John Sadler on today's TDN podcast. But first, another message from our good friends at TaylorMade.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present Harvard of Grace.
7-10, you want to get 10 million on it, right here, we're going to get out of the mat, away now, 10, 10 to 10, here we're going to get out of the mat, we're going to get 10. Bruce, right here, $10 million even.
TaylorMade, where customer success is our primary focus. But don't take our word for it. Here's what some of our most satisfied customers have to say.
This is Brian Kahn, Los Angeles, California. I've been associated with, worked for, and been a client of TaylorMade and the TaylorMade family for close to 30 years now. Had great success with them. They've always been transparent and honest, and I always felt I was getting the right end of the deal with them. Highly recommend their services from boarding, public sales, private sales. I've used all. All have been a success and a pleasure to deal with.
Here's longtime TaylorMade client Rick Porter of Fox Hill Farms, owner of numerous champions and Grade 1 winners, such as 2011 Horse of the Year, Havard of Grace.
I've been doing business with TaylorMade for over 20 years. Everyone knows they are the best sellers at auction, but they have also done great work for me in the private market. They have an unbelievable network that can help you buy or sell privately in a very professional and transparent way. I wish I had these guys working for me when I was in the car business.
Discover what TaylorMade can do for you. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com.
John, not that you weren't already a respected figure in racing, but I think you made a lot of new fans with how well you handled the scrutiny that came with being 0-41 in the Breeders' Cup. Was that difficult? Now that you've had time to sleep on it and reflect upon it, can you really, you know, talk about what a kind of just, for lack of a better term, a pain in the butt it was to constantly have to be asked that question?
Well, you know, on these big events, you know, a lot of the people that are riding for horse racing and stuff like that, you know, it's an interesting question, but it really, you know, requires a little more depth of understanding to really understand what that means. I think, you know, most people would think that are horse people, that are trainers, and, you know, they don't get to the Breeders' Cup 40 times, you know. I mean, they might have a horse every couple of years or something like that. So it's a testament to our program that we've been there a lot. You know, is Andy Reid not one of the best coaches in the NFL? Mm-hmm. Never won a Super Bowl. So, you know, we're there every year. We have a lot of horses that sometimes win what we call the prep races, which is win and you're in. We're going there without having to pay exorbitant entry fees, so it makes sense for us. So, and we've had, you know, years where we could have won, been second or third or you know, right up there with, and you know, we didn't have some luck. So for us, it wasn't as big a stress, and I just tried to, you know, tell everybody that we were relaxing and enjoying it, and we weren't stressed out by that conversation, really. You know, I know they're going to ask, and we're going to tell them our answers, but, you know, that now that that's over, we're looking ahead. And that's the point where you made up, you know, I want everybody to look at the horse.
Mm-hmm.
Five group ones, four at a classic American distance of a mile and a quarter, almost the high weight, I believe, or co-high weight every single time. A lot of times in handicaps where he's giving a lot of weight away to the other horses. And weight means a lot, you know, at a classic distance. So all year long, he's never ducked a horse.
Mm-hmm.
He's run with whoever they brought over there against him. Sometimes he's been in some small fields, but that's because they're ducking him.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's been a great campaign for this horse this year. He showed himself a champion. So I just want everybody to really realize how good this horse is.
But to your credit, you never seem to get ruffled. You never seem to let any of this get under your skin. You handled yourself as a perfect gentleman throughout. People that know you probably weren't surprised by that. But you're telling me that that wasn't really hard to do? That's just your nature and your confidence in your program?
Yeah, I think it really is. And you know, what I like to say, especially at these big events, is, God, what a good day of racing.
Mm-hmm.
Enable, what a champion she is. We saw the two-year-olds, you know, going to be the stars of next year. Just so much great racing. The dynamic performances of Roy H. and Stormy Liberal coming back and winning 2 years in a row. And Excel. I mean, it was just, you know, there's so many great stories out there. I don't want people to kind of miss them. And the human interest stories are great, like, you know, my personal story. But, you know, I want people to be talking about horse racing and how much fun it is. It was a beautiful day. The sun came out there and at Churchill. And you know, you could already start looking to the Breeders' Cup next year at Santa Anita, which, you know, is where we base. And we think it's a great place to have a Breeders' Cup because of the great weather.
But the losing streak never shook your confidence at all?
Not really. I mean, because it's just the way I felt about it. I didn't think that, you know, you know, we've won so many big races before. We've won a $2 million race in Dubai, a $1 million race in Florida. I've won group ones at Churchill before. So, you know, I've been doing this long enough. Mm-hmm. I think I feel good about it. And if it didn't happen, it didn't happen, you know. But, it, you know, if it didn't happen, it wouldn't change John Sadler the person, you know.
Right.
I mean, you're not defined by a horse race. You're defined about your family and your friends and your beliefs. So, we were happy to win and ecstatic to win, I mean, to be honest. So we'll let it go at that.
Catalina Cruiser, the hulking chestnut, third on the outside of them, under Drayden Van Dyke and just 3/4 of a length off the lead. But now Drayden Van Dyke is starting to pump on Catalina Cruiser. Goes to the whip, too.
Well, what you just heard was Larry Colmus calling the dirt mile, pretty much telling people it was not going to be Catalina Cruiser's day in that race. Many people thought Catalina Cruiser was a cinch. Matter of fact, he was lower in the odds than Accelerate was in the Breeders' Cup Classic, yet he ran sixth. John, first of all, did he come out of the race with any sort of problems, or have you come up with any excuses why he didn't run his best race?
Well, yeah, we think he's you know, there might be a few things bugging him. He's going to go what we call a nuke scan this week, which is kind of like an MRI for a person. So I don't have a full, you know, statement on him at this time. But, I mean, we'll figure out what went wrong and we'll take care of it and adjust it. And it's certainly not going to be anything major. He probably is going to be off a couple of months, but we look forward to campaigning him next year in 2019.
Okay. Now, even though Accelerate is the star of your barn, like I said, Catalina Cruiser was your heaviest favorite of the day. And again, he certainly didn't run his race. We know he's a much better horse than he showed. You explained that there might be some problems. Did that loss shake you at all?
Not really, because we came right back in the next one and run great with Catapult in the turf mile. Really used 6-7 to 1 and, you know, just got nipped out at the end. So, you know, on those days, it's not going to go, perfect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Baffert was actually so kind to me during this process. You know, he said, some people are writing that I'm 1 for 17 the last 2 years in Breeders' Cups. So you could always find a stat that's negative or something like that. But like I said, I've been doing this a long time. And, you know, I was not that concerned.
Very good. We'll be right back with John Sadler. But first, a message from our good friends at TaylorMade.
For over 40 years, buyers, sellers, and breeders alike have turned to TaylorMade for custom fit solutions. From boarding to breeding to both public and private sales, our dedicated team stands ready to serve you. With expert advice from the Taylor brothers and their experienced team of account managers, you can count on TaylorMade to provide the personalized service you deserve and expect. Visit TaylorMadeFarm.com and discover what the worldwide leader in thoroughbred sales and marketing can do for you.
John, over your career, you've won so many big races, including the incredible run that Accelerate went on, winning all the major grade one handicap races in Southern California for dirt males. But was the Classic your greatest win, your proudest moment? I imagine it was, but, you know, why don't you speak about that?
I think so. You know, I mean, I could, you know, I'd like a little more time away from it, you know, but I've had so much fun in this game and been blessed to have so many good horses. I hate to put one in front of the other. But early in my career, I had an undefeated filly called Mel Air. Mm-hmm. Ran a mile of 132 and change and beat Snow Chief. She was a great horse. Stellar Wind was a great horse. Won 8 group ones or 9, I'm not sure. So, I mean, I'm putting this on the top of the list, no doubt. But, you know, I love all the horses that we train and develop. And you know, I'm already, my focus is a little bit is, you know, 3 days, 4 days out is I'm looking at next year, you mm-hmm. know, who's going to step up. So that's what you got to be doing with horses, enjoying the great ones while they're here and planning ahead.
Okay. I promise this is the last time I will bring the subject up, but the monkey off your back factor, how much did that add to the enjoyment? And going back to the previous question I asked, how much did that contribute to perhaps it being your greatest win or your proudest moment?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to you know, have that burden removed from you. And, you know, I mean, next year they're going to have to find a different storyline. So that's up to the sports writers and the people in the industry. But for us, we're very happy and we're very, you know, grateful. Like I said, I got great support going in and coming out. So we're in a good place.
Okay. After the Pegasus, Accelerate's next stop will be Lane's End, where he'll stand at stud. And John, he's well-bred. He's a 5-time grade one winner. An awful lot of boxes are checked. I know that you, in your heart, believe he's going to be a good stallion. You're probably not the most objective person on this. But give us your feelings on the next chapter of his career. Is Accelerate going to excel in the breeding shed as well as he did on the racetrack?
Well, I mean, I think he's got a very good chance to be a very good stallion because he's was such a brilliant racehorse. And, you know, in the kind of the last era that I've been involved with, I've been through a lot of them, you know, I go back to thinking about Candy Ride, what a brilliant undefeated racehorse he was, kind of off-bred really a little bit, you know, but it's been sensational and stud. They were a little off on Medaglia d'Oro when he first went to stud. They maybe didn't love his pedigree, and he's been awesome. So, you know, I think that he has a chance to be a very good stallion, and I know he's going to get the best chance he deserves there in Kentucky. The key with these young stallions is get a lot of the right type of mares to them, and that's why we're so proud to have Lane's End stand them, because they're great at that. They really know what they're doing. You know, their stallions are got the hottest stallion in roster in the industry, if you look at it, with Quality Road, Candy Ride, kind of union rags, anchoring the proven horses, and then bringing in horses as good as City of Light, Accelerate, and West Coast Travers winners. So they're rocking and rolling over there.
Very good. John, as we speak, I'm not sure if the stallion fee for Accelerate has been set yet, but we're hearing something in the neighborhood of $20,000 to $25,000. Sounds like an incredible bargain for a horse that just won the Breeders' Cup Classic and five grade ones. Do you think that that's going to have people beating Lane's End's door down?
Oh, I think so. You know, they're gonna set the stud fee to make it very attractive for them to get over there and get, you know, a full book of the mares they really want to have. They screen the horses pretty significantly also. So I imagine they'll put the fee where they think it's fair, and they'll be plenty busy.
Okay. And will the Hieronis brothers or any of your other owners be breeding to him? Do you anticipate having Accelerate babies in your barn someday?
Yes. I mean, clearly we'll be breeding some mares to him. Some of my other clients will probably breed mares to him. And, you know, I've said this before. I mean, we'll be an active buyer of some of his offspring mm-hmm. when they hit the sales.
Okay. Once again, you're not objective about this, but I do want to hear your opinion. This is one of the most fascinating Horse of the Year races that I can remember in my lifetime. Normally, the Triple Crown winner is going to be Horse of the Year no matter what, but there is a groundswell for Accelerate. And matter of fact, in the NTRA poll that came out the other day, he actually had more first place votes than Justify. So on the day after the midterm elections, do you want to play politician and give your stump speech why you believe Accelerate should be Horse of the Year 2018?
Well, I mean, like you said, that it's for the riders to decide that and the people that vote on that. I don't have a vote, but if I did have a vote, you know who I'd be voting for, clearly. But, I mean, I think it's as simple as just look at his body of work, the number of group ones he won, the way the buyer speed figures, the weight he's carried, the horses he's beat. Look at the horses he's beat, you know, in the Breeders' Cup Classic. So, I mean, he's got a great, great year under his belt, and the people that vote will decide on that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to take anything away from Justify and his accomplishments. He's a fabulous racehorse. There's no question about that, and did something really remarkable. But that's, like I said, for me, I don't really get a vote on that, but I would be biased.
Okay. Well, we would expect you to be of course, be biased. He's your horse, and you certainly have every right to talk about his accomplishments and why he deserves to be Horse of the Year. John, looking back at your record, you do go back a long way in the sport. At the ripe old age of 22, you took out your license in 1978, and you won your first race in 1979. I believe it was at one of the Northern California tracks. There was no Breeders' Cup then, but looking back to 1978, when you were at an age where most people don't know what they're going to do with their lives and are kind of young and dumb and stupid, did you ever dream you'd win on the biggest stage there is in the horse racing, like the Breeders' Cup Classic?
Well, you know, even when you're really young, you want to get it in and see how far you can go. I've been blessed to have nice horses and nice clients from the beginning, and started with nice people. And I'm really grateful for everybody that's helped me along the way. You know, there's a great tradition here in California of, you know, the older guys helping the younger guys. And, you know, I just really admire the guys that were here ahead of me in California, and I came up under, you know, the obvious ones everybody knows, the Whittinghams, the Frankels, those kind of guys. But, you know, we had such a solid group of horsemen. You know, when I go back and I think about Henry Marino and the Studi brothers and Gary Jones and Joe Manzi, obviously Ronnie McAnally, a Hall of Famer. You know, we've had so many great trainers here in California. You know, I feel like I've been blessed.
Mm-hmm. And John, earlier in the conversation, you reeled off some of your statistics, and they are quite remarkable. Over 2,400 races won, over 153 graded stakes. If your career were to end tomorrow, you've already etched your place in not only Southern California racing history, but racing history itself, especially with the Breeders' Cup win now. That's quite a career. So what's left to prove? What's still on your list that you haven't checked off that you want to accomplish in this sport?
Well, I'd probably say a Derby. You know, that's gotten so turned out to be such a big thing. You know, I'd probably like to win a Derby. That one, you know, it kind of has to happen. You know, you can't force it. Whittingham had a great line when he finally won his first Derby quite late in his career with Ferdinand. I think he said something like, well, if I'd known this was such a big deal, I would have won one earlier.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I want to win more big races at the highest level. I'm feeling great. I'm healthier and learned how to take care of myself as I've gotten older. So I think there's a lot down the road for us. You know, so with horses, you know, you kind of let them take you where they take you. So the horses will take me where they want me to go.
I kind of figured that would be your answer. And but the difference between your outfit and some of the trainers that have had so much success recently in the Derby, like, for instance, Bob Baffert, is he winds up with 52-year-olds every year, 48 of which can run. And that's not really your program. You seem to do better with older horses. You don't have owners that go and routinely spend $1.5 million at the sales. So it doesn't mean you can't win the Kentucky Derby, but it does mean that you don't have the advantages of some of the other trainers, Jerry Hollendorfer, Todd Pletcher, or even Chad Brown now. There's got to be a Derby on his list. Do you see perhaps a changing some of your training styles or encouraging your owners to look for those kind of horses if, in fact, that is the one thing that you say, hey, this is what I really want to do before I retire?
Well, my training style is not an issue because, I mean, I've been to the Derby and, you know, you just got to have a really good three-year-old and have enough points to qualify. So I'm not worried about that. I'm not going to change the style in the sense where I'm going to tell my clients to, you know, buy million-dollar two-year-olds. Because if you look at the numbers on those horses, you know, it's not very good. So we're going to continue doing, hopefully we'll buy more horses, but hopefully we'll be buying four for $250 versus the million-dollar yearling.
Right. And John, finally to wrap things up, has Accelerate meant anything to your career so far as changing things? Do you think people look at you differently now? Have owners that maybe would not have approached you? I know it's still early. We're only doing this actually 2 days after the Breeders' Cup. But have you got any calls from new owners saying, hey, I really like what you accomplished? So how is the John Sadler training stable and John Sadler the person different today from what it was 96 hours ago? Any changes?
Not yet. It's too soon. Mm-hmm. Ask me that question
okay.
in 6 months.
Right.
You know, my phone blew up after the race. I had like 170 texts or something. So, you know, a lot, it's mostly congratulatory calls at this point. But, you know, that's really a question for down the road.
Right.
Too early to tell and traveling. And you know, I'm happy with what, you know, this is the barn I have, but I'm always looking to grow it. We're always looking for new horses. You know, when I get to November, December, you know, my focus is on next year already.
Right.
So, you know, we're looking at, you know, the big calendar and getting ready for 2019.
Very good. Well, John, you're a class act. Congratulations on a well-deserved victory and a great training job with Accelerate. I want to thank our sponsors, TaylorMade, for making this podcast possible. And John Sadler, keep it up. Maybe you'll go 4 for 4 in the Breeders' Cup next year. How's that sound?
Sounds good to me. Take care.
Thank you, John.